My question is, what decides what you tell that person? Of course, it depends who it is and how well you know them. And all that is, usually we go into work or how busy we are. So what do you say if your week just went wrong? You overslept one morning, vehicle broke down the next day, you missed an appointment, felt like the children misbehaved all day Thursday, and Friday you had an argument with your spouse, and by Saturday you were just done. Everything was going wrong. Now, how does God come into that picture in our lives? And I think of God, my mind always goes to a good God, someone that cares about us. God is in the business of blessing us, right? We talked about justification and all that this morning. We're justified. We are without sin because of that. God rewards us, right? God gives us good things. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Turn to Lamentations 3. So God is a God that I think we would all agree here this morning that God does bless us. God gives us what is good for us. God, we don't always understand that. I'm going to read the first 20 verses of Lamentations 3. And then we'll talk some more. Lamentations 3, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me into pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I want to stop there at this time. We'll go on down through there later. But Jeremiah is lamenting. Not totally sure. It feels like he's taking all this personal, but nation of Israel was not following God. They had turned their backs on him. They were not following what God had laid out for them. And Jeremiah, I think, was just lamenting that. It's looking like God is against him. Everywhere he turns, God just isn't helping him. Jeremiah was a prophet to Israel, and it just, you read down across here, and it's like God just did not help him out. He was doing what God wanted him to, and one thing after the other. Back to that question of how your week was. So no matter how your week went, does your mind go to God? Do you tell people about God? Whether it was a good week or bad week, as we call bad, have you seen God there? Have you seen God working in your life? We can have, when I say the word bad, I think of anything that us as humans don't like. Whatever that might be in your life. Do we still feel God? Just a few things on life. Things happen in life that don't make sense in our human mind. We try to reason it out and we come up short. Back to that thought of God is a God that wants to bless us. And whenever things happen that seem to drag us down or not make sense, we come up short in our human reasoning. In this world, in this sin-cursed world, things are going to be less than perfect. Evil is going to happen just because of sin, whether it's going to happen. And I think we all agree with that. But there's a limit. In my mind, there's a limit to that, right? If we're following God, there's a limit to how bad things can get. And God is a God that wants to correct that right away, right? You know, things happen. There's a righteous man following God, doing what he knows is right, and things happen. And God corrects that right away, right? Not in our human reasoning. Now, I just want to think about God a little bit. We're going to read verses 21 to 41. Out of Lamentations here again, Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth into dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he hath not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven, in the heavens. So Jeremiah poured out his heart to God, and in the end he turns his heart back to God. He turns his mind back to what God does. I like the verse, I guess I like the verse 22. It is only because of the Lord's mercies that we are not annihilated. It's only because of the Lord's mercies we are here this morning, because we have all sinned. If God was a God of pure justice, we would not be here, because God cannot stand sin, and he would have taken care of us whenever we've sinned. But we go down across these verses, and God may allow grief, God may allow things into our life, but it is, he does not make it any worse than we can handle. I just really enjoy reading down across these verses and seeing how God looked after Jeremiah and also looks after us. Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we think of heaven, as we think of getting to heaven. We can only see it through a glass darkly, but the trials and sufferings on this earth are going to fade as we see the glory of heaven. And as we see the eternity in heaven, as we face eternity in heaven, the years we spent on earth are going to seem very short. I want to read out of John 3, 14 to 17. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent Jesus to this earth so that we can be saved. He did it because he loved us. He loved us first. We loved him because he loved us first. No matter what happens to us, to our life, in our circumstances, we can have a life. To be free from sin is the ultimate. Doesn't always feel that way at times whenever circumstances go the other way. But God sent his Son to save us, not to condemn us. We all know the verse, without faith it is impossible to please God. This morning we have to have faith. I want to look at a few things that we need faith to believe. We've all heard the quote probably, something down the line, God is good all the time God is good. Do we need faith to believe that God is good? I keep coming around to the thought of God being a loving God, God being a God that wants to give us good things, and how do we reconcile that with things that happen in our life? We need faith to believe that God created a perfect world that is now marred by sin. I go back to Genesis 1, 31. We all know God creating the earth. And every evening after he was done, he talked about it being good. And the last day, the sixth day, and God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We have the earth created in its perfection. God had created, God divided the waters from the earth. God had created all the animals. God created man, and it was perfect. It was very good, God said. Looking around in the world around us, I believe it takes faith to believe that that actually happened. Because there is so much evil, there is so much wrong about us. It takes faith for me to believe this morning that that actually happened, that God created nothing but perfectness. He didn't create anything less than the best, we would say. We need faith to believe this morning that God watches out for us and doesn't allow more than we can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I think this can be applied to anything in our life. whether it's a temptation, spiritual temptation, whether it's circumstances that come into our life that want to then drag us down spiritually. God doesn't allow more into our life. God is not going to allow into your life things that are going to make you succumb to self-pity or give into negative thought life, or that you have to blame others or God for where you're at. God does not do that. God is a God that cares about us. Also, I believe it takes faith to believe, I use the word bad again, that the bad things that happen to me, we can actually use that to become a better person, or a person that God can still use. If we allow things in our life to define us, the bad things in our life to define us, it is not going to make us better. Things in our life will change us, will make us different, maybe you say, but it does not need to define who we are and where that takes us in life. Again, this morning, I believe it takes faith to believe, somewhat the same thought as the last one, that the bad in my life allows God to work and show his power. 2 Corinthians 12, I want to turn to. Second Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. This is where Paul is talking about his thorn in the flesh. Chapter 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, and in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We need faith this morning to believe that when we are the weakest, God can shine through us. God can give us strength to do things we never thought possible. But we have to allow God to work. We have to allow God to show his power. This morning, too, I think it takes faith to believe that God is a God that is not subject to man's reasonings. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is not subject to our reasonings. It is only human that we are going to ask why. I think, I would guess most of you have asked why in your life. Why did this happen? Why, Lord? My question this morning is, do you think you would really understand if God would tell you the reason? Why? Do you think you would understand? Because God's ways are so much higher than ours. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. This morning I think it's easy to want to demand answers from God, and I think it is only human that we ask questions, that we ask God to show us, or we ask God to help us. But it's easy to want to demand God to answer us. And maybe that's why my mind went to Job. In his life, we all know that story fairly well. I'm just going to pull from memory of Job's life. God and Satan conversing there, and God said, Have you noticed Job? Have you seen him, how upright he is? And Satan's like, well, that's only because you're blessing him. That's only because you're giving him everything he wants. That's only because nothing bad has happened to him. Did Job ever find out, and I don't know that we have the answer, did Job ever find out why all this happened to him? I want to turn to, I wanted to turn to Job, get a few verses out of there. Yeah, the first chapter 9 to 11 talks about Satan's like, well, you have a hedge about him, and put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he would curse thee to thy face. And Satan tries to get us to believe that lie this morning, that if we're sacrificing our life to God, he will bless us. And if something is going wrong in a human reasoning, if something's going wrong, it is because of something we did of sin in our life, or somebody must have sinned. Somebody must have did wrong because of what is happening. If you go and read the following chapters of especially God's dialogue with Job, God is trying to get Job to see his sovereignty and his holiness. God is helping Job to see that he cannot reckon his sufferings in a finite mind. We must understand, we must see God for who he is. God is telling Job that he said, I don't need to answer to you. I don't need to answer to you for everything I do. But we need to trust a finite God. We need to trust a God that knows what is best for us. Now, I just have a couple things. As we think of suffering, as we think of the bad in this world, how do we relate to that? That'd be a little more practical, and you'll probably think of other things that I do not have. It's not like I have a list that I feel is what it takes, as much as we all are going to struggle with it, and we can never compare suffering to suffering. So many times something happens to us or something happens to someone else, and it's easy to feel one of two things, either like, wow, it's not as bad as this person over here, or, you know, yeah, that happened to them, but wow, just think of these other people. Or it can be like, wow, I just don't know of anybody else that went through this. I don't know of any, you know, there's just nobody to talk to because I don't know of anybody that went through it. God sometimes is the only one that knows why he allows what he does. He gives us glimpses into his thoughts and actions, but we are small and finite. We cannot downplay the suffering we are going through, but neither does it help to feel like we're going through something way worse than everybody else. We need to lift our hearts and our minds to God. We need to accept the suffering, as Paul did. Paul wanted the thorn in the flesh to be taken away. We can ask God to take our suffering away. We have to talk to God about it. But God finally came back to Paul and said, you know, I'm going to be glorified more if you continue to suffer. If you have this thorn in the flesh, I'm going to be glorified more from that than if I take it away. So Paul said, I will glory in that. You know, this morning, we can easily run from our suffering, maybe not always, but I say that we can run from our suffering by refusing to accept the change that is doing in your life. God is allowing into your life what is good for you. It's hard for me to understand that, but by faith I believe it, that what God allows is for my good. Do we know ourselves what will help us become more like Christ? Do we know ourselves what will bring God the most glory in out of our life? Another thing is accept the change. Some things are bigger than others. Some sufferings are bigger than others. But there will be change. We need to accept them and see them as a stepping stone in our Christian life instead of seeing as it a derailment from our goals in life. God's ways are higher than ours. To refuse to accept the change is to lead a very miserable life. How to think of Joseph's life. When he was not accepted by his brothers and sold to the Ishmaelites and sold down into Egypt. Do you think he liked that change? Do you think that he didn't wish to God, prayed to God, that he could go back to his family? By being sold into Egypt, he lost his innocence of being protected and sheltered by his father. Do you think he enjoyed that? But as you look at that account, he accepted what God had put into his life. And we know that by seeing just following his life through Egypt. And as he did what God had for him, he served. He got thrown in jail, he served the other prisoners. And when he was taken out and put before the Pharaoh, he served Pharaoh. He did whatever God had for him next. As we accept the change in our life, God will work out things you never thought possible. Can we embrace suffering? As we go through suffering, we need to stay close to God. I've heard people say that in our hearts, we always know what God wants. And I struggle with that statement because we need to stay close to God and to His Word, but do we always know exactly what God wants for us in our life? But we need to take the next step. And I think as we take the next step, God will continue to lead. Sometimes I do not believe that it is clear. I do not believe that it is easy to see clearly where God wants us to go, but He will continue to lead us as we follow. God will change your perspective on life. Allow God to do that. As sinful man, we are very selfish and think only of ourselves. When we become saved, we do think of others. We start thinking of others and their well-being, but it's so easy to slide back into that me mentality. In the middle of suffering, we see life through a different lens. And I think sometimes as maybe suffering fades or as things change, it's easy to slip back into the rut of thinking of only of ourselves. And it's easy to forget what God taught us through suffering. We need to allow that growth to continue. Stay close to God. This morning, somehow we need to realize that God is in the business of blessing people. One other thing is we cannot spend too much time, or we can't allow ourselves to spend a lot of time dwelling on what God is trying to do. What I mean by that is, I don't know if you're like me, but you go through something and be like, okay, God, what was that all about? Who are you teaching what? You know, if you're trying to teach me something, just hurry up and tell me what it is and I'll change. Or were you trying to teach someone else? You know, if I was just an instrument of you teaching someone else, okay, you know, I get that. We just have to do what God has for us in the moment. I believe if we get hung up on the question of what God is trying to teach me, we can miss the blessing of submitting to His will. Focus on God. Focus on doing the next thing. Focus on what God is telling you to do right now. Allow others to speak into your life. One more passage I want to look at, John 9, kind of maybe going back to my thoughts earlier, but just the thought of just, I want to reemphasize that suffering is not because of what we have always done. John 9, verses 2 and 3. Well, I can start at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So here was a man born blind, and Jesus' disciples were like, someone, in their minds they were going, someone sinned. Someone, God was trying to teach someone because they had done wrong. But Jesus said, no, he said, this man was born blind that the works of God should be made manifest in him.